Opinions expressed on this radio program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station.
Todd never sugarcoats it. Does he tell it straight? You bet. Does he deliver with a sense of humor? Always.
I always start my Sunday mornings off listening to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. It has tons of information, and he has such a great sense of humor.
My friends and I always tune in to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show.
Hold on tight. Don't let go. It's time for the Todd L. Levitt Law Show.
Welcome to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Good morning, good evening, and good night. I'm yours truly, attorney Todd L. Levitt, broadcasting post Central Michigan University homecoming from the middle of the mitten in sort of a wet, nutrient green field here, Craig Russell. I'm recovering. I have not slept, truthfully, in about 38 hours.
I'm amazed you're here. I'm not kidding. Amazed you made it in.
We talk about Central Michigan. Great game, by the way. Yes. Fire up, Chips. Way to go. And we talk, you're a Central alum. I'm a Central alum. We talk about Central all the time.
Fire up, Chips.
Fire up, homecoming was just a blowout. It was lit. All my fraternity brothers, all my SIGAP brothers were from out of town. Some flew, my buddy Greg Grizzle, the Grizz, big handsome guy, flew in from Florida. We had Lambo from Traverse City, Zog from over here in Saginaw, Eddie Walker. Lambo and Eddie were my roommates from Pickney and all over the place. Tom Isett was in town, Motsy, Jay Mott, everybody. Schnell, my point is, these guys, I'm fired up right now and I'm wound up. I'm so tired, I can't even think.
You know, you're too old to use the term, it was lit. I'm just going to tell you that right off the bat. Nobody over the age of 30 should ever say the word lit.
Do you know that's what the young people say right
now? I know,
now.
That's what the kids say.
This homecoming was lit. And kudos to Central Michigan University Alumni Board, the president, everybody who put on a great organized event over here at the pond.
Yep.
The athletic department, the administration, the faculty. It was amazing homecoming. Law enforcement did a great job as always. And we opened the show with Dirty Mind album, Prince.
Yeah.
Party up. Got to party up, man.
That's a really funky Prince.
That is funky Prince. Yes. That's like 1980, 79 Prince. But we are a law show. I'm attorney Todd L. Levitt. For those just tuning in and waking up, we come to you each and every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m., Craig, on what stations?
98.5 UPS in Central and Northern Michigan. Also, Rock 105, Rock 95.5. We just rock in Traverse City, Sheboygan.
We're podcasting also on iTunes, SoundCloud, Podbean. And if you would like this show to appear on your phone during the week, we podcast it. Just go to the App Store, download the podcast app. It's free. Just type in podcast. Type in the Todd L. Levitt Law Show, subscribe, and here we are.
It'll make your listening enjoyment that much better.
And be sure to download the UPS app.
Yep. And the Rock 105 app as well.
Yeah.
So you can listen to us everywhere you
Sheree
go.
Sheree does a great job.
I'm Sheree.
It's Sheree.
It's Sheree.
We're going to have this conversation.
I know we will.
Yeah. And we're in the Black Diamond Mothership right now.
It's a beautiful, we had a little bit of rain, cooled off a little bit, but it was perfect weather yesterday for the game. And then this weekend is just fantastic. So what did you actually do for homecoming? What did you guys do? Did you even go to the game?
You know,
I'm going to take that as your.
Where do I start?
Your silence speaks volumes.
Well, let me just say this. Big shout out to Jalen Brewski, good friend from the Bird.
Right on.
Yep. Big shout out to the Bird.
What's the word?
The Blue Gator.
Okay.
Love the Blue Gator and all the restaurants in Mount Pleasant, Michigan that are owned by that family. Yeah. Swindlehurst, they do a great job. They've always supported the community. Amazing Cheers restaurants. I can go on and on about it. So big shout out to that establishment. I mean, it was just a blowout.
Yeah.
I mean, when you look, we're all in our late 40s and 50s. You would think we were 18 and 19.
Well, I'll tell you this much. Surprisingly, you're still here. So you obviously didn't get arrested or do anything that bad, which is a good sign. I think an attorney being arrested, not a good idea.
You would hope an attorney would know the laws and ordinances and avoid those type of pitfalls.
Exactly.
I mean, there were MIPs. Thank God nobody got hurt. It was a great event, and we're a law show, and I'm a little upset right now.
You?
No, I am not happy about something.
Get out of here.
No, I have a complaint.
Okay.
And this is to all dog owners out there.
All right.
We own pets.
Yes.
We own dogs.
Yes.
On the way to the mothership this morning, I stopped off to get some coffee.
Like always.
Like always.
Got to.
I stopped off at one of the bigger establishments.
Okay.
Big box store.
Okay.
And they have coffee in there, so I went in and got some coffee.
Okay.
When I came out, my truck was parked next to a vehicle with dogs in it.
Okay.
And the windows were cracked to give the dogs fresh air.
Yeah.
There was a parking lot full of spaces, and yet this individual had to park next to my truck. Do you know how annoying it is having to get into my vehicle with this vehicle so close with these dogs barking my ear off? I mean, these dogs almost came through the window. Do you follow what I'm getting at here, Craig?
I do.
No, listen, here's what I'm saying. If you're a pet owner, which we are, and you have dogs that bark at other people when they walk by your vehicle, why would you park that car so next to my truck when there's 100 other spaces out there knowing your dogs are going to do that to somebody, and I could barely get in my vehicle to begin with? If one of those dogs bit me, we're talking lawsuit here, baby. I'm an attorney, Todd L. Levitt.
First world problems for Todd.
No, I'm being totally serious. I'm not happy about this.
Do you understand where I'm coming from? I understand where you're coming from. I think you're being a little petty. I know you haven't any sleep. I think you're a little agitated this morning without the 38 hours of sleep.
Look, I'm chewing on some coffee beans right now. I actually had some dip in my mouth.
Really?
Yeah, we used to chew back Copenhagen back in the day. We used to chew. Come on. Are you kidding me? We used to. Okay, I never swallowed it, though. I had brothers of mine that would drink, and that's really unhealthy for you. But I had some dip in my mouth this weekend, and right now my lips are on fire.
The whole thing is
fire
for you to begin with.
But my point is that we're a law show. There's a legal issue here.
I think your
These dogs, they could, I don't, I could, I didn't want to look at them. I didn't want to agitate them anymore. But I had no, if I got in the passenger side of my truck, they were still barking at me and jumping at me, but I got in the driver's side where I have a right to get into my truck.
Yeah, I think you're being a little picky here.
I think
really what the bigger thing is we're talking about is common sense and courtesy. Where is courtesy these days?
I love animals, and they were probably cute dogs, but you know what? They wanted nothing to do with me. And look what I'm wearing on my head right now.
I know.
I have a hat on.
Yeah, you do.
Okay, and I don't know if they thought I was the mailman or who they thought I was, but my point is, folks, I think the majority of the audience agrees with me on this. What say you, Craig Russell from The Morning Hustle?
I think you're just, I know me, when I don't get any sleep for a day or so, I get real irked and agitated.
Complaint number two is coming at you and the listeners.
Okay.
Complaint number two.
All right.
I got my DNA tested. We've talked about this.
Okay.
I'm 3% Irish.
Okay, yeah.
Never knew.
Right.
I missed out on so many good St. Paddy's days. Now I have a reason to march in the parade.
It makes a lot of sense now.
Here's my issue, and I'm not going to name the company.
Okay.
But when you get your DNA tested, you have to do an online profile.
Sure.
And then they match up your DNA with thousands and thousands of people around the country and the world who have also sent theirs in.
Okay.
So humans, we have very similar DNA. They say there's only, you know, we're all related to one another, basically.
Yeah, in a nutshell, yeah.
But they really narrow it down to the region where the majority of your DNA is found, and then they tell you.
Okay.
Then what happens is, on these ancestry sites, they link you up with third and fourth and fifth cousins who potentially are related to you.
Huh.
And there's like I have 4,000 third and fourth cousins, and a couple of them, over the last 6 months, have started reaching out to me.
Really?
So my point is, I don't even know who my second cousins are. I barely have time to talk to my first cousins. My first cousin AZ is my best friend and Piz Dog. I had this lady. She sent me an email. You know, dear Todd, apparently my husband and you are third cousins. Can you ask your mother if this person is on her side of the family? We would love to contact you. I don't have time. word out to all my third and fourth cousins, if you're out there or you're a listener and we have a DNA match, I love that you listen to the Todd Levitt Law Show. Please don't contact me. I don't. Do you know who your third cousins are? Do you know who your great, 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 great grandmother may have given birth to?
They're all dead.
My point is, do you know who your second cousins are? Do you have time?
I know who they are, but I've never met them.
Do you have time for them?
No, not at all.
Okay. Do I have time for my third and fourth cousins?
Dude, you don't even have time for me half the time.
I appreciate my extended DNA out there. And as far as I know, I have two daughters.
As you wanted to go.
Look, we have a lot of law to get to.
But speaking of a law thing, can I bring up just a 30 seconds of a law thing?
Yeah, I'm done. That's it. My complaint.
Would that DNA test and them telling you over that kind of stuff, would that be something that could be get a subpoena for a search warrant or use that in a court of law if, say, you refuse to give a DNA test for a murder or something like that? Is that something that could be used against you?
Well, interesting question, because in the state of Michigan, let's talk about Michigan.
Okay.
If you're convicted of a felony, DNA is now required to be taken.
Ooh.
Yeah. If you're charged and convicted of a felony, they have to take a DNA swab.
Okay.
So you don't have a choice.
What if you
you're charged and convicted? But here's the thing.
What if you haven't been?
So that's an interesting question. There was a case in Utah recently.
Okay.
Where a police officer was fired after arresting a nurse who refused to draw blood from an accident victim who was passed out when he came to the hospital.
Oh, wow.
So again, we're going to talk about this when we come back from break.
Right.
So you're asking me, do they need, if somebody's DNA can be extracted in a criminal case?
Right. From one of those sites, like would they be able to subpoena, let's say it's wetakeyourdna.com. And they, you know, could they be subpoenaed and say, we know he has gone through the DNA process with you. We need some of that DNA so we can use it in a case against him.
That would take a major, major warrant, subpoena powers. I mean, I would put up as an attorney the biggest fight to prevent law enforcement from obtaining my client's DNA. But again, there are state statutes across this country where it's required now for good reason. And most of that are sexual assault cases.
Sure.
But the issue in Utah was, and we'll talk about this, the nurse was trying to protect her patient.
Makes sense.
And she knew what the law was.
Right.
And the officer was ordered by his lieutenant to arrest her.
Hmm.
So when we come back from break right here on the Pulse Central Michigan Fire Up Chips, Sig Apps, Craig Russell, Morning Hustle, Todd Levitt, Prince Party Up. We got to go to break. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. If you're just tuning in for the first time, I'm attorney Todd L. Levitt, broadcasting from the Black Diamond Mothership right here in the middle of the Mitten. It's a little wet Mitten today, and it's a beautiful nutrient green field. Post-CMU homecoming with my SIG app, Sigma Phi Epsilon fraternity brothers. From back in the day, I saw Bono, O'Boyle, Patrico. Great time.
How the hell they let you guys back in town? Didn't they kick you off campus?
Yeah, Sigma Phi Epsilon, Sigma Phi Epsilon, which is one of the largest national fraternities across the country, together with the Teagues, Sigma Pis, Sigma Chi's, great fraternities at CMU, Phi Sigma Phi, ZAE. Sig Apps were banned for life from CMU. How do you kick a fraternity off of young men and say, we're never going to let you back on? Central Michigan University, which I love, my alma mater, there's a handful of men and women at the university say, we're never letting this fraternity back on campus, when there's thousands of alums, such as myself, whose only experience at this college was in a fraternity. Do you know how much money CMU loses by not allowing our fraternity back on? There's so much money that alum who are in their 50s and 60s now would contribute. If the university is worried that by bringing Sig Apps back on campus, there's going to be trouble like there may have been in the 70s and 80s, what, from 60-year-old men? What are they gonna do? Take, you know, take their AARP card and throw it at somebody? I mean, come on. Or their Metamucil and put it in a beer can?
Their dentures.
Their dentures. I mean, what is CMU? I love Central. Okay, what are they worried about?
Oh, hold on, let's back up a second. Have you ever watched the movie Animal House? That's how you get kicked off of campus and get banned for life.
Okay.
Okay.
Why, but you know,
I'm
something?
Just saying. I
would argue as an attorney that federal law, the Constitution of the United States, because I'm a constitutionalist, we believe in the Constitution.
Right.
Says that you have a right to gather. You have a right to organize. Your free speech.
You don't have a right to incite a riot. I'm just going to say that.
That I, you know what just went off in my head? Quiet riot.
Come on, feel the Todd Levitt.
Come on, feel the noise.
Okay.
How's that go?
Come on, feel the noise. Girls, rock your boys. We'll get wild, wild, wild.
We're going to get wild, wild.
Okay.
Let me turn my seat like The Voice and see if I choose you for my team pick. Okay, I wouldn't turn my chair.
I think your chair is going to turn.
Before a break, we were talking about DNA and a nurse in Utah that was arrested for refusing to a blood draw, and
right.
The officer placed her in handcuffs. And coming up in the show, we have some Michigan marijuana updates.
Yes.
Big ones.
Yeah.
From Lara.
Yeah.
We're going to be talking about the state of Michigan is now offering individuals who are interested in entering the Michigan medical marijuana business an opportunity to participate educational meetings.
Right.
So we're going to talk about that. Also, Lara released some information in regards to streaming live meetings online that are taking place this month and next month.
Speaking of meetings, City Commission in Mount Pleasant had a meeting about this very purpose.
What did they resolve?
Well, no, no, we got to get into the detail. We'll get back to this.
And I want to talk about my favorite show on Netflix, Narcos.
Oh.
Yeah, big announcement on Narcos, one of my favorite shows. You got to check that out. But so here's what happened in Utah. A Utah police detective was actually filmed forcibly handcuffing a nurse who refused to draw a patient's blood. This individual, the officer, has now been fired. This happened in Salt Lake City. There was a detective, and the detective arrested this nurse after she refused to allow police to take blood from an unconscious patient who had been injured in a car accident. And body cam footage, Craig, by the way, this went back to July 26th.
Okay.
It went viral after it became public in September, and it sparked outrage, of course, across social media. In the video, the nurse explains to the officers, and this is seen in the video, that they needed a warrant because the patient couldn't consent to the test. This is pure Fourth Amendment search and seizure. We talk about it all the time. Your blood is a part of your person. If you want my blood, you better damn well get a warrant. You're not taking my blood without a warrant. This person has passed out. He could not consent. The nurse was there to protect his rights, rightfully so. The officer who was doing his job, and we love law enforcement out there, we love all law enforcement,
right,
contacted his lieutenant. The lieutenant ordered the officer to place her under arrest. So it came from higher up.
Sure. Now,
that pisses me off.
Now, the question is, why did they want his, was he the driving? Was he at fault? Did they think that he had a blood alcohol problem, or did he have something in his system that caused the accident? What is the rationale for why did they want to draw the blood?
I don't have that additional information, but obviously there was a car accident. And
sure,
they may have wanted to determine if this individual was intoxicated, had illegal drugs in his system, therefore bringing forth a case to prosecute.
Now let's back up a second. Let's say he was conscious. Would she have to draw the blood?
Not without consent.
Okay.
He would have to, well, hold on.
Okay.
Medically, she would be drawing blood,
right,
medically. And here's something interesting. Michigan actually has a statute that speaks specifically to this issue.
Okay.
And if during a procedure, someone comes in from an accident and the hospital takes blood, another test, and
right,
it becomes part of the hospital record, law enforcement and the prosecutor can have a subpoena served on the hospital, and the hospital will then have to release the medical records to the prosecutors. So they go about it that way. But in almost every case in my 23 years, because I specialize in drunk driving cases, drug cases,
right,
you know, all those criminal defense cases, I've never had an officer who has not followed procedures when one of my clients was taken to the hospital for one reason or another. So kudos to law enforcement that I've dealt with for doing their job the right way.
That'd be law enforcement in Michigan.
In Michigan.
That's right.
But I want to give them big shout out. Also, big shout out to Trooper Mike White.
Okay.
Of the Michigan State Police Post here. Had lunch with Trooper White last week. Ran into him at Firehouse Subs here in Mount Pleasant. And we sat right next to him. He's a great trooper. Gives a lot back to the community. A lot back to Central Michigan University. And we're hoping to have Trooper White on the show.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, hopefully the next couple of weeks. And I invite him to come on.
Ask him about stuff like this and other things.
Very active in our community here. He gives, all the troopers are, a lot of law enforcement give back. So it's not just troopers, but, you know, sheriff, city, tribal, and university. Big shout out to Mike Morrow, Sergeant Mike Morrow.
Also, now let's also remember this is podcast across the country. So
yes.
The rules and the laws in your state or area might be completely different from what we're talking about. So make sure you consult with an attorney or check out what the story is.
Bottom line is, though, in the state of Michigan, if you're operating a motor vehicle and an officer has enough belief that he or she can place you under arrest for operating while intoxicated or operating with the presence of drugs, that officer will request that you submit to a chemical test.
Right.
And if they just say, hey, Mr. Russell, I'm placing you under arrest, will you consent to have your blood drawn? You have to say yes in Michigan.
Yeah.
It's implied.
Right.
No, if you're in Michigan, it's implied. At that point, they don't need a warrant. Okay?
They don't even really need to ask you.
Well,
just tell you.
No, they still ask out of courtesy.
Okay.
Because they have to read you your chemical test rights.
Okay.
You're still entitled to certain.
But I can't say no.
Well, if you say no, they'll wake up a magistrate. You know, Magistrate Strauss, she's a great lady. Sandra Strauss, love Sandra Strauss, does a great job here for the courthouse.
What if it's at 2 in the afternoon?
And then it'll wake up a magistrate in the middle of the night. Doesn't matter what time, there's always someone on call at the courthouse.
Right.
And a warrant will be issued.
And then
the blood's coming.
Yeah.
But there's individuals out there, I don't remember the term, who are afraid to have their blood taken.
Okay, yeah.
What is that called?
I know Jehovah's Witnesses have an issue with getting blood transfusions.
I'm not talking for religious reasons. I'm talking for people who have an anxiety or a phobia at seeing their own blood.
Yep,
yeah.
Okay, yep, needles and things like
that.
I'd
like to ask a medical physician or assistant in those cases when we could talk to Trooper White about that if he comes on the show.
Would you be able to do like maybe a swab or a saliva test or something? Is that similar? Or what about urine test?
It's not as exact.
No, but
you need the blood.
But so okay, let's even take this a step further. Let's say Trooper says you need to take a chemical test. We need to draw blood, and the blood makes the person oozy, and they pass out before they do that. Then they're unconscious. What's their rights then?
Did the individual already consent? Well, here's the thing. In Michigan, you have to say yes. Do not say no, because then you're going to lose your driver's license for a year. There is relief in circuit court. That's a whole nother show. But if an officer requests, you have to take it. Your question is, if the person's taken to the hospital via warrant or otherwise, blood's about to be drawn, they've already consented at this point.
Okay.
All right. And blood's about to be drawn, and they pass out.
So they're unconscious, technically. I guess they've already given consent. So.
They've already given consent. So. But the question, again, that's a question for a medical professional.
Right.
But under the law, under the Fourth Amendment, we have a right to our privacy and what's in what contained in our body, which is contained in our body, our cells, our DNA, our blood, our urine, that's a part of our person, and we have protections. So, unfortunately, this officer made the wrong decision.
Right.
This officer could have been outstanding, made just a poor decision from up higher up. Mm-hmm. This officer was following, it says here in the article that the officer supervisor was demoted to officer because of the direction to place this nurse under arrest.
It wasn't just the officer taking the fall for this. The guy who instructed him to do it also ended up being reprimanded as well.
Correct.
No, that's good.
Correct, yeah.
That's good.
And you know, again, more often than not, law enforcement and medical officials work together because they see each other on these shifts when officers are bringing in accident victims or somebody that caused the accident. And so on and so forth. Do you want to hear something horrible?
No.
No,
but you'll tell me anyway.
There's a case in Michigan. I don't want to even talk about this. It's really disgusting.
Well, then why are we talking about
because
it?
Because it was all over. We're a law show, and this is law.
Okay.
An individual who was sent to prison for rape gained custody rights and visitation.
I saw that.
To see that child.
That's crazy.
I think the young lady was 12 at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Gave birth at an early age, and now this individual, who's a convicted rapist, gained custody rights from a, I think it's a, a Detroit area court, a judge.
I thought it was Flint. I could be wrong.
I don't know.
And I thought I saw something that they're going to temporarily block that because they've got to work more of that out, because that's crazy.
That is just, I've never heard of, I mean, obviously it exists.
Right.
I don't even want to talk about it. It's so.
Well, then let's take a break
it's
now.
So, we'll come I back can't with, even talk about
okay,
it.
Okay, well, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll have more law. Since this is a law show.
Hey, when we come back, can we come back strong with the Beastie Boys?
I guess so.
That was a request from one of my fraternity brothers. Lambo wanted the Beastie Boys.
We can't disappoint Lambo.
No, Lambo is the king. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Great conversation during break, and you received a message from your mother.
My mom, yeah.
What a sweet lady.
Yeah, she's the best.
Big shout out to my mother also.
Your mom lives in the Detroit area?
Yeah, Metro Detroit.
Okay, my mom lives in the Kalamazoo area. So yeah.
I cannot get my mother to go past Brighton.
Well, I can't get my mom online, and that's a good thing.
Yeah.
I know.
It's that generation.
I have friends who, anytime they post anything on Facebook, social media, anywhere, the first person to respond is their mom. And I'm like, I am so glad my mom does not know how to use a computer.
I have a Facebook confession.
Okay.
I'm one of those individuals that I'm only online with you and a few other individuals. I don't want people looking me up because I'm only on with fraternity brothers and a few people. I will not accept anyone else.
Okay.
I don't have time.
Yeah.
But I go online and I like things and I have no idea what I'm liking just because they're my friends. So I'll go down and bullet like 20 likes. By the way, but I do read... I have a very dear friend, Robert McCauley Jr.
Okay.
Biker Bob.
All right.
He's coming on the show.
Okay.
He's one of my closest, dearest friends. He's literally like my big brother. Biker Bob, I love you, bro. Looking forward to having him on the show. I've talked about him coming on before.
Okay. When's he coming on?
We got to get him up here to Mount Pleasant.
Well, that's
big shout out to his sister, Debbie. She lives in town.
All right.
So, hey, we've got to talk about, we have a cannabis update.
Yes.
LARA, the Department of Licenses and Regulatory Affairs in the state of Michigan, are pleased to continue to provide live streaming of their upcoming board meetings this month and November. So, again, if you're interested in anything and everything that has to do with Michigan medical marijuana and regulations, the board is going to be live streaming continuing in October and November. The link for viewing the stream, Craig, will be posted on Lara's website. So just go online and type in Lara.
Got to say, that's a good thing. That's very transparent. They want to make sure that anybody can see the meetings and can see what's going on and see the process and the progress of the licensing and the regulations that's coming up with medical marijuana. That's good. That's good. That's what it should be. It should be open so everybody can see it.
I'm a member of the State Bar of Michigan marijuana section.
Okay.
So I get all this information and updates as a member of the State Bar. I'm proud of that.
Makes perfect sense.
Yeah. Also, Michigan is offering medical marijuana training for individuals looking to get into the business, entrepreneurs hoping, as you know, to break into Michigan's booming future business will have the chance to learn how at a series of 5 meetings across the state next month. So again, LARA has scheduled 5 educational meetings, folks, that will walk you through how you can apply for a license and get a demonstration of the state's seed-to-sale tracking system that will track medical marijuana from plants to processed product. Applications, again, will become available December 15th for the 5 categories in Michigan.
So can I ask you a kind of a personal question? Not really, but back when they announced that all the dispensaries were going to have to start shutting down in lieu of the December 15th cutoff before they started reissuing licenses and having people reapply and everything. Were you worried that it was going to end up squashing this business in the state of Michigan? Did you think that was going to be a problem?
Not at all. I'm not happy that they were ordered to shut down. There's a lot of individuals who get medicine from the hardworking men and women who have provided for years. So that was my concern. But the board's thinking is that if we give them till December 15th, they'll be able to connect with caregivers. I'm happy the state of Michigan's going the way they're going.
Right.
I mean, there's always carnage when things are changing. And unfortunately, that's the carnage. And the state of Michigan, there are still counties that have been busting dispensaries.
Yeah.
It's been ongoing. But there's a lot of dispensaries. They're doing it voluntarily. But applications, by the way, as I said, are available December 15th for the 5 licenses. At this educational gathering, applicants won't be able to complete forms to apply for a license, but they will be able to learn how the process will work. So you can actually learn how to go about applying for a license, you know, but you're not going to be able to apply at this point yet, but you're going to be able to learn how that will take place. And the sessions will be held from 9 a.m. to noon at various locations. I would just look it up online. There's no cost to attend the educational sessions, but potential licensees must register online by 5 p.m. on November 1st. So go on to LARA, just Google it. It's been all over the newspaper. And if you just tuned in, we're talking about the state of Michigan offering training for people. It's free to get into the business of marijuana. What do you have there? What took place that you have with you?
Well, in Mount Pleasant this past week, they had a city commission meeting to talk about this impending situation, that what's going to happen with medical marijuana businesses that are going to try and open up in the city of Mount Pleasant. They started off with buffer zones. You know what a buffer zone is?
Absolutely. Churches, schools, daycares,
parks,
universities, parks.
Yep. There's got to be
federally 1,000 feet. There's 500 has been floating around 1,000. Yep. What did Mount Pleasant say?
Well, they've talked about both of them. They talk about wanting this buffer zone. Some people don't understand the buffer zone thing. There's a couple of people in the meeting who said, I'm just trying to get my medicine. What is the problem with this? Why do we need this buffer zone? Explain it to me. I'm trying to get my medicine. And the city mayor, she made a good point that it's similar to a liquor store because they don't exactly know how this is all going to shake out. Nobody's got all the answers yet, but it's definitely a regulated product, much like liquor, because at this point, it's technically still illegal in the state of Michigan and working and using these things. So they're talking about the buffer zone. They're talking about that there are, because what they've decided is that medical marijuana businesses in the city of Mount Pleasant are going to be limited to industrial areas and commercial areas. And so the buffer zone is going to protect schools, Central Michigan University, daycare, churches, parks and stuff. And they've listed that if they did a 1,000-foot buffer zone between industrial and commercial areas, there's going to be over 160 areas that are going to be outside of the buffer zone area that people will be able to do medical marijuana businesses.
How many licenses, though, did the city say they're willing to allow?
They did not get to that point. But what they're trying to, I think the point they're trying to make is they're trying to make it a positive. Even if they do this buffer zone, there's still going to be plenty of available areas that you would be able to run a medical marijuana business, including when they say the commercial areas, they realize that commercial area has to do with Pickard, has to do with Mission, has to do with the downtown area. And they said between the two, there's over like 160 available parcels. So let's say they offer 10 licenses tops. Those 10 people, those 10 licensees are going to have plenty of opportunities to be able to find areas to build their business that are going to be within the buffer zone area outside of the 1,000 feet. And we'll be able to legally run their business, because that's what they've mainly decided. They're going to allow they're going to allow all 5 kinds of medical marijuana.
But how
businesses.
Many? That's the question.
True, they have not determined that.
Because there are some communities that are doing unlimited.
Oh wow!
Yeah, but here's the thing: unlimited, but there's only so much real estate available.
Yeah,
and what you're saying, there's 160 what? 160
between the properties.
Slept in 38 hours, by the way.
Right. Between, if they did the 1,000-foot buffer zone, there's 100 properties zoned industrial and 55 properties commercial. So between the two, there's about 160 different properties that people could own and run medical marijuana.
They're not
going to
allow 20 dispensaries in Mount Pleasant.
No.
I wish they would because
they
open it up.
They're trying to make the point that there's plenty of space available to do this. And even with the buffer zone, there's going to be plenty of opportunity, especially commercial areas along Mission that aren't by a school or aren't by a church.
There's a lot of listeners out there who have no idea what Mount Pleasant looks like.
Right.
The university runs north and south along a main road called Mission, which runs north and south.
Right.
The university, all those businesses along Mission running north and south along the university, you're not going to be able to put anything there. And here's the other thing. I've spoken to a lot of landlords in Mount Pleasant. There may be all that space available, but the problem is those landlords don't have to rent.
No.
They don't have to lease.
No.
They don't have to sell.
No.
And that's where my beef is with the landlords.
But that's got
Open it up. Open up the market.
But here's the thing.
Wait, let me tell you one more thing. There are tenants, I know this for a fact, who have signed long-term leases, and they have clauses in there now that specifically state that the landlord will not, under no circumstances, allow for these type of businesses to operate in their strip malls and their malls. There's another issue out there. That's a big issue because I've spoken to landlords.
Mr. Lawyer, is that legal? Can they do
Absolutely. It's a private business. They can do whatever they want. Not whatever they want within the law.
On the other side of that, if they're only going to allow 10 licenses, that bodes well that they could at least find 10 places.
No, I disagree. Let's say they allow 10 licenses and there's only two landlords that are willing to sell the land or to lease the space. Now, what good are the 10 licenses?
Those landlords.
I'm just playing advocate.
I understand
here,
that.
Advocate.
And I'm going to tell you this much. Those landlords could make a mint if they figure out a way to get some other land to help these people because they could charge whatever they wanted way above market
value. Oh, I wish you wouldn't have said that.
I'm just saying.
If landlords, look, a lot of landlords in Mount Pleasant, and I know, and they're good people. Mm-hmm. I know most of them.
Yep.
Great families. I'm not going to say the families.
Yep.
And there's because in a lot of small towns across the country, and we have listeners from all over the country, there's families who have been in those communities for 100 years. They were at the right place at the right time and had the opportunity to own the student housing, to own the land that built the strip malls. There's a lot of great landlords out there, and I'm happy to say that I think it's going to open up. The market's just going to open up. It brings jobs and taxes. Mm-hmm. And there was a speaker from Colorado who was recently in the Grand Traverse area. The TNT up there, the narcotics unit, brought in a speaker from Colorado to talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly. And what was interesting is that some of the townships who were in attendance brought up the point that everything negative that the speaker was saying about Colorado from legalizing cannabis is already happening in their communities. So what they're saying is, because I've gone to some of these township meetings and people say, not all of them, but people say, well, we don't want marijuana in our community. And I say respectfully, will you listen to what you just said?
Yeah.
It's not marijuana you have to worry about. It's everything else. And it's already in your community.
Well, I think the encouraging thing to take away from both these meetings.
I'm just saying.
I know. The encouraging thing to take away from both these meetings, the one from Mount Pleasant, they sound like they know this is going to happen and they're just trying to make it as positive as possible. The one meeting in Grand Traverse County you're talking about, there was a sheriff who said the purpose of this is not to whether you're for marijuana or against it. It's to provide information for you to make your own decision, but it's also to provide information to see how it's going to affect the communities. And in most situations, it's not going to affect it any more negatively than anything else.
Agreed.
So that's all I got to say about that, Todd Leavitt. Let's take a break.
Hey, don't go away. We have one segment. And Craig, I've been up for a long time.
I know, yeah.
And we're going to come back strong. So stay tuned right here on 98.5 UPS.
Rock 105 and Rock 95.5. We just rock.
Welcome back to the Todd L. Leavitt Law Show, broadcasting post-CMU homecoming from the mothership, a little wet mothership in the middle of the mitten, a beautiful green nutrient field. The field is looking beautiful today.
It is. Well, you know, we've had a lot of rain the past week or so, which has been good because we needed it. And also, you know, I did mow a couple of days ago. Looks fantastic.
How's Curly and the rest of the Three Stooges?
Well, Larry, I never, the weather.
I mean, you just said you did mow. Party up. Got to party up. Oh,
even Walter White.
Walter White's bobblehead just fall. By the way, Craig Russell.
Yes.
If you're just tuning in and hopping in your vehicle and
okay.
you're listening to podcasts, we come to you. We say it all the time from 8 to 9 a.m. each and every Sunday morning. And catch us on iTunes, Podbean, SoundCloud. My favorite show right now on Netflix, Narcos.
Narcos. I can imagine what's it. Now, is it a
true story?
Is it a scripted show or is it a like reality show?
Well, it's a true story about, you know, the days of the cocaine cartels in Colombia.
Okay.
And the DEA. Steve Murphy and Javier Pena, who are the two officers that were stationed in Colombia during the rise of the cartels.
Okay.
It starts off the first two seasons with the Escobars, and then it goes on to the Cali cartels. It's a great show. Central Michigan University Program Board, that's free and open to the public, have brought DEA agents, retired Steve Murphy and Javier Pena, to the university.
Wow.
7 p.m. Tuesday, October 17th in Plaquemines Auditorium.
That's like in 2 days.
Yeah, it's coming up. And it's presented by Central Michigan University's Program Board. Thank you, Program Board. Florida senior Elizabeth Reina Hernandez made it all happen.
Sweet. Good job. Don't bring in some stuffy comedian.
It is a great show.
Are you going to go meet these guys?
I'm telling you right now. It's so intense and it's unbelievable. So I just finished season two, so I'm looking forward to that.
That's gonna be awesome.
Yeah,
that'll be great.
Look, our show broadcasts all over the country and all over the state of Michigan. I mean, we're right here in the mothership in mid-Michigan, so we talk, because we're chips, we talk about that a lot,
right?
But everything we talk about holds true across, you know, the Mitten State and the great state of Superior, a.k.a. the Upper Peninsula.
Okay.
Oh, man. But, you know, we talk about stuff that affects people across the country.
Right.
I mean, some of these issues are taking place in every state in regards to medical marijuana, recreational marijuana.
And you know what?
Fourth Amendment rights, yeah. Second Amendment rights, freedom of speech.
We get a lot of emails from people.
A lot of
emails.
Not only
just from Michigan, but from all over the country. And this is one from a Kelly who's in Omaha, Nebraska.
Unbelievable. We have a listener in Omaha.
Omaha, Nebraska. Omaha.
Who says Omaha?
That's Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning, one of my all-time favorite quarterbacks.
Omaha. Kelly writes in and wants to know about signatures. She said, this was a cool question. She said, my dad used to have a very flowing, legible signature, but in his old age, he's gotten arthritis in his hands and his signature has noticeably changed. And she's concerned that maybe some legal documents he signed back in the day will have a problem, people reading them and realizing it's him. Can you legally change your signature for whatever reason? Can
you do that? Yes, absolutely. It used to be back in the day, and you see this in movies all the time, put your mark right here.
Right.
Put your mark. So your signature, you know, can be whatever. I don't want to get myself in trouble here, but it could be pretty much whatever you want it to be.
Okay.
But typically they want you to sign your name. So they're going to look at some type of identification. If your name is Craig Russell, they're going to see, you know, if you have two L's or two P's or two Q's, you know, that has nothing to do with Craig Russell. But here's the thing. If on your driver's license, you sign it a certain way, and on every other document you sign a certain way, and over time, it changes, as long as you can show a pattern on how it changed over time, and this is what your signature is now, then that's a valid signature. My signature, when we were younger, and they don't teach cursive writing.
No.
Can I tell you something?
Go ahead.
I hate cursive writing. It's beautiful.
I can tell you the last time.
And women all write the same with the big loops and circles. I don't know how women all have cursive. They all look the same, don't they?
And they all have really cute handwriting, too.
But it's all like big circles and loops.
Yep,
and you can't tell the difference. You could have 100 women in a room, and it's all beautiful circles and loops. But here's what I
want
to say.
Chill out there, Cam Newton. I don't want you to get in any trouble. Stop.
No, okay. That was not.
I know.
I actually like Cam Newton.
I know. Okay.
But what I'm saying is, when I was younger, I used to really try to sign my name so they could see the letters.
Mm-hmm.
As an adult now, my signature, you ready for this, is almost like a line. There's my signature. What does that look like?
It looks like,
That looks like it's so fast now. I have to sign so many documents. That's my sink.
There's mine right there, man.
Yours looks like
you can see.
You know what it looks
you
like?
Can
if
maybe
you're,
see a C and a G no. and a.
Let me tell our listeners what your signature is. If you go to the hospital and you're hooked up to an EKG system and you see on TV the lines going up and down, that's yours.
Yeah.
Mine is just
yeah.
Mine.
It's just a but as long as that scribble is consistent,
correct,
then you're good to go.
Then you're good to go. But here's an interesting question: if there's a will or these really serious documents which someone has signed and now they're deceased, the question is that their signature? So how do you prove their signature? That's a whole nother show. But
have,
what I'm
we don't have time in this segment to figure it out.
And I've been up for what, almost 38 plus hours because of homecoming at Central with all my stick up fraternity brothers. But the signature thing is interesting because it's just quick. But
yeah.
But it's your mark. Put your mark right here.
Yeah, exactly. Now if you signed your driver's license with an X and you sign everything else with an X, it'll all match up.
Yeah, but you know
but they won't let you do that.
Yeah, because if you sign something with an X, how easy for somebody to sign your ex?
Have you ever watched that Pawn Stars show? You ever watched
Excuse me?
Show?
Did you Pawn say porn
Star?
Or pawn? Yeah,
Pawn Stars.
Okay, I'm tired. I've been up for 2 days.
It's the guys from Las Vegas who own a pawn shop, and they bring in all kinds of crazy
right.
stuff. And there are people who bring in signed autograph, you know, posters and records and all this. And they have experts who come in, and you can see how they will. They'll look at each little way they make this. They make an A or make a C or, you know, they the ink pattern and something. It's crazy.
But here's the issue. Here's my problem with experts. Because a lot of experts hold themselves out as experts, so now they're an expert. Think about this, Craig. What makes someone an expert? Because they start to say, I'm an expert. So now people think you're an expert. But are the experts truly experts? Now there are people who go through a lot of education, a lot of training by highly skilled men and women. Now they become experts and they can be expert witnesses. But a lot of people out there claim to be experts in everything, and they're not experts. They say they are, so people think they are.
It's a case of...
Does that
of,
make any sense, or am I tired?
No, you didn't make any sense. You are
No,
tired.
That made a lot of sense.
It makes a lot
Come
of
on,
sense.
Does that not make sense?
I'm just kidding.
All right, no, you're not.
I want to hear you say expert a few more times.
Expert.
That's a weird-sounding word when you say it about 20 times.
Yeah, want to see my signature?
Not really. But if you believe someone's an expert, then that's right there. You know, someone has to prove themselves that they're an expert. They have to give you a reason. You know, they have to dispel whatever they're expert in. They have to give you a reason, or they're not going to make any money. Nobody's going to believe they're an expert.
There's so many fake credentials out there. There's so many fake, you know, with the internet. I mean, it's just
it's true.
Can I tell you something? I wish we could go back hundreds of years. No internet. You know what I want to do for now on, Craig? I want to communicate with you with pigeons. We're going to start. No, don't even call me next week.
Pigeons?
We're going to start Lord of the Rings, Game of Thrones. You want to talk to Todd 11 next week, Craig? Tell Tammy and everyone at the station, send me a pigeon.
So let's say
I'm not making. There are people who actually compete in what I'm talking about. I saw it on TV.
Let's put it this way. So if somebody wants to call you and they've got a case and they want to get a hold of you, it's not going to be 989-772-6000?
It is exactly 989-772-6000.
But now it'll have to be pigeons. They'll have to send a pigeon to your office.
Pigeons. I am a criminal defense attorney. We joke, but I do practice out of Mount Pleasant, Michigan, and I cover south to St. John's, all the way north to the far-reaching corners of the UP, drunk drivings, possession cases, open intox, MIPs. I do it all. That's a shameless plug for myself. You know, people, one thing I like about this show, it's not an advertisement for my law practice, but I just did one.
Yeah, because well, people want to know.
Yeah, it's, we're people just we're entertaining and we're informational. And Jackie Starr, who runs my I have an alpha female who runs my office.
She's the star.
Yeah, Anthony office. Starr. It's her husband. He's a great guy. I love the handsome, talented Anthony. And we have Jennifer Woodruff here.
Yep.
Jennifer Arndt from Prescott. She's got five brothers. Her dad, Eugene's a big fan of the show. Big shout out to Eugene. Jennifer is Jackie's assistant. She does a great job.
Trust me, you need these people around.
You know them.
I know, because if you didn't have them here, you would be screwed.
If you're a man and you run a business, take my business advice. Hire an alpha female. It should not be your wife, your mother, your aunt, your sister, because there's too many emotions involved. That's just my opinion. I'm going to get a lot of pushback on that one. What? Bring in an alpha female. We're guys. Just concede.
Let's check that and rewind it for a second. If you're Todd and you're running a business, make sure you have an alpha female.
No.
Because I'm serious, man. With your ADD, you would be so lost.
But that's why that I'm an effective trial attorney. Are you kidding me?
She keeps you
okay
on the line.
Listen, listen, my brother. My brain fires at a very fast pace.
I know.
I take an information, I disseminate it, it comes out. When I'm in trial, picking a jury, cross-examining, you don't think that works to my advantage?
Oh, I know it
you
does.
You better believe it does, because while people are talking and I'm cross-examining, I'm already thinking about two or three more questions to extract testimony. Hey, big shout out, by the way, to my good friend Jeff Rettig, the chief assistant prosecutor at the Midland Prosecutor's Office under J.D. Brooks in Mount Pleasant.
Okay.
Jeff Rettig does a great job. He's a dear friend of mine, and he was a prosecutor in Midland, became a defense attorney, and went back to the prosecutor's office. But he's a good friend. We grew up together. He's from Livonia. Big shout out to the Rettig family.
And also a big shout out to Kelly from Omaha for that great question about the signature.
Omaha.
That's in Omaha.
Omaha.
Omaha, Nebraska. Omaha.
Were you at homecoming this past weekend?
I was not, unfortunately. No, I had to work. I had stuff I had to do, unfortunately.
Yeah, you work 7-8 days a week.
I work 24 hours a day, 8 days a week.
Yeah. I love 8 days a week. I love you.
Hey, we got to go.
Yeah, wow, what a great show.
I know.
Dude, Walter White's head is back on his bobble.
Thank God for that.
We have Sal Goodman here, and I tried to bobble him, but he's not a bobblehead.
Yeah, he doesn't work.
Left to work on. I like a Craig Russell bobblehead.
We can maybe make that happen. There's a place you can order your own bobblehead.
Yeah, let's do that.
All right.
By the way, we're going to have t-shirts. Law really? Show t-shirts we're going to
really?
Be.
Really?
Yeah, we're gonna figure out how to give away Todd L. Levitt Law Show t-shirts.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, how would you like your face on a t-shirt, Craig?
I don't know about that.
I don't have to talk about it. Hey, I just want to give a big shout out to all my fraternity brothers, Sig Epps. If you're driving back and going home and heading to the airport, please drive careful.
Be safe.
If you're too tired, Craig, will you drive me home?
I'm gonna drive
if you're too
home.
Tired, have someone drive for you. Don't be foolish. Wear a seatbelt. Do not text and drive.
That's right.
Be distracted. Hug someone with consent. And until next week, the Todd L. Levitt Law Show, Craig, we're gonna go out strong with some serious music.
Yeah, I know.
Who is it?
Beastie Boys.
I'm not just a litigator. Take us out, Craig Russell, the Beastie Boys. You have a right to fight, to party, however that goes. See ya.
You gotta fight.
The Todd L. Levitt Law Show, brought to you by Chad Malley Well Drilling of Rosebush, Clark Modular Homes, your most experienced and trusted builder of Mount Pleasant, Harrison Power Sports, Central Michigan's fastest growing full-line Arctic Cat dealer, Dr. Robert Townsend and Denali Healthcare for your alternative healthcare needs, Clear Vision Windows, Siding, Roofing, and Attic Insulation of Midland, offering free estimates and easy financing, and New Millennium Pawn Shop in Mount Pleasant, paying top dollar for gold and silver.
Opinions expressed on this radio program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station.